want to go backwards. Matthew chapter 10. Let's see what we can do with this tonight. Father, we ask you tonight to again open our hearts and, Father, prepare the soil, Father, for this word, this seed, to get in deep. And, Father, may it truly take root in our heart and, Father, grow to maturity. Father, may it have the blossom and then may it have the fruit. And, Father, may the fruit truly come to fruition in full maturity. Father, desire is not to be just a beautiful plant, but, Father, to bear fruit unto you. May we tonight begin that process again to prepare ourselves to bear fruit in your kingdom. Father, we ask you tonight to have mercy and grace upon the idolatry and the ignorance that's in our minds. And, Father, move it aside and let our eyes be open to see the beauty of your kingdom with your King within. Father, we love you and we bless you tonight. Amen. Chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first was Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not unto the way of the Gentiles. He says, Go not unto the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. I could go right there and make a night out of it, but I'll go on. There's a whole lot more besides that. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes nor yet staves, because the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who it is worthy, and there abide till you go from there. And then when you come or into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of the house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of the wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given to you that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall raise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. And the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and nothing hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? But the very hairs on your head are numbered. Fear ye not therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. He that receives you receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall drink, give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of the disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Whew. Let's go back and see what we got. Again, this is the teaching of what? The mind of Christ. So we have to look at this. What's in his mind? I implore you, as you read these scriptures, don't casually look at the surface of these scriptures. Dig deep in your heart and hear what your spirit's telling you. There's a whole bunch more underneath the surface. If you look at a lake, you can only see the skim of the top, can't you? How much is underneath? 99.some% of the lake is underneath. And that's what we got to look at. So as we begin this study again in chapter 10, he says, who's got the NAS? Read that to me, that first verse. Now notice, when he had done what? Say it again, Mike. What did he do, Mike? No, in the very first verse, start out with, when he summons them, see, he didn't say called unto him, but he summoned them to him. They added some other words in there. NAS says it really well. He summoned his disciples to him. He gave them power, right? Look at this. He didn't say, hey, come over here, do 3 Our Fathers, 2 Hail Marys, and a couple push-ups, and throw some money in the kitty before you leave, and I'll give you power. How did you get power? He just said, come here. Whose idea was it? See, it's not like I got to do something to get this. I can make myself worthy, can I? He's trying to show you this is about Father's choice. He just chose them, didn't he? He said, come here. And when they came, he gave them power. Did he lay hands on them? He just said, come here. You know why? Because it says in Romans 8:29, those that he foreknew, he did predestined conformed. Right? He knew who he was talking to. Did he not? Do you think he randomly walked around and said, eeny, meeny, miny, oh, this one maybe. Maybe this is the one the Father wants. Did he think he said that? Do you think, Mike, that he knew exactly who he was talking to, every one of them? I do too. I think he knew exactly who he was talking to. And when he walked by and saw Zacchaeus up in the tree, he said, hey, come here, boy. Got some things to do. When he saw Peter and James and John and all these apostles that he named, even Judas Iscariot, he said, come here, son. And you know, he wasn't even mad at them. He knew they wasn't going to obey him. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. He knew that Judas was going to betray him unto death. And guess what was in his heart? Love and compassion. He told Judas, with a very compassionate word, what you have to do, do quickly. Right? He didn't get mad at him knowing what he was doing to him, did he? So what's in his mind? Love and compassion at all times. And he picked these guys out. And most of them didn't believe what he was saying. Very few of his disciples believed him, did they? Very few of them believed, even of these 12. He had three that stuck close to him. Peter, James, and John. But he gave them this power over all unclean spirits, didn't he? And to cast out or reject them, right? And to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now this word sickness, you know what it really says? It could be used two ways. It could be physical or it could be right up here. Morally, he could fix the things that's morally wrong with them. That would be your mind, wouldn't it? Now, what do you think was in someone's mind? Let's don't look at it. Yeah, let's look at it in human view first. Someone has the power, okay? And this person has the power to heal people, cast out devils. What else does it say? Heal sicknesses, diseases, cast out devils, all this stuff. Had this power. What do you think would be in your mind dealing with someone else giving it to them? You got this power and you know all about what's going on. You've got it in you. You know you've got the power in you. You know you have God in you. Doesn't that sound like Christ? Now, if you've got this, what would you think in your mind?
The human mind would probably
get up, see? There we go, see. Did he get uppity? That's what I was looking for. See, I want to see that the natural mind, when it's given authority, will try to take control of it. But when God has got a hold of your heart and God gives you authority, you don't have to prove it to nobody, do you? You can just be who you be. And that's what I'm trying to show you. As God gives us power and authority to do these things, it don't give us power over nobody. We got power over this thing and the things that's resident in there. That's the power, isn't it? I've told you for years, the supernatural power of God is we're alive. We're not reacting to the things of the world like the natural person. God gives us power. We don't run out and wield it against somebody, do we? Jesus had power to control the whole universe, right? The people drug him up and nailed him to a tree and beat him. Could he have stopped it? Did he use it? That's supernatural power. Natural power will be take force against someone and overpower them. The real power of God is to not react. There's supernatural power. That he could take someone out of the pits of the lowest form of life on this earth and make something out of them. There's supernatural power. He said he chose the foolish things to confound the wise and the weak to confound the mighty. Right? Corinthians? But there's the power. He knew what he had. Right? And he just gave it to him. He said, go do it. See? Now that's somebody who knew who he was. Right? He had his identity. He knew his father. He had a relationship with him, didn't he? He knew his purpose. That's his what? Destiny. And he knew his will from his father's will. And see, he wasn't uppity about anything, was he? He just said, hey, come here. Go out and do these things. Now, he wouldn't have sent him if he hadn't given the power to do it, would he? So we have to realize there's no pride involved in this. All we're trying to do is let people find out who they are. When you find out who you are, you know what you'll do? What will you do? You'll do just like him. You won't be in any big upheaval about anything coming in your life. You'll just peace be still. See? And this parable about Jesus in the boat, and that's what it is, it's a parable. And he's sleeping in the ship, just taking it easy. Guess what? All the big storms are raging. And what do we normally do? Because the ship's out of wood, that's humanity, so that's just in us, right? And the big storm starts raging, what do? Go in the bathroom and do what? Okay. That's what normally happens. But see, Christ is right here, isn't he? And we will do the same thing he did. When we realize who we really are, we'll just say, peace, be still. Didn't you say that today, Cindy? Okay. You maybe don't have to quote those same words, but it's the same thought process. Hey, be still. I listen to you. That's the authority he gave us, see? He's not trying to say we can cast devils out of anybody and heal some kind of disease or cancer. That's not important. The thing is to get my mind healed and know who I am and know that I have authority over the earth, which I am. It has to follow. If I can't take care of my backyard, how am I going to minister to the world? That's what's wrong with the church today. You've got all these people out here, 99.9% of your preachers out here are trying to heal the world, and they're the sickest puppies on the earth. I mean, they're perverted. They're sick mentally. They don't have the nature and the character to help anybody. They got an intellect they're trying to put into you. Do you understand what I mean? That's why we got a problem. These people have never experienced God in their life. They went to a seminary and someone told them about him. That won't do anything for anybody. James said the demons and devils know there's a God. They tremble about it. What good's that do? See? That's all the church system has done, is taught us that there is a God. Well, we already know that, don't we? It's sad, but that's the way it is. So he's trying to show us what kind of authority we have. And that's somebody coming from a mind of somebody who knows who he is. Do you understand what I'm saying? We've got to know who we are. We can't go out and say, Dave told me I'm a son of God. Well, I could have told you he was an apple butter, chunk of apple butter, wouldn't make no difference, would it? If you don't know in your heart what it is, what good's it going to do? You got to know who you are. That's what this is about. You got to know who you are. You got to stop listening to what somebody says to you and hear what God is saying in your heart. That's the whole thing. And if you can't hear, then unplug your ears. You know how to do that? Dig into the Word. God's no respecter of persons. If you will give Him the time, He will give you the answers. I promise you that. Otherwise, then God's a liar. And I don't believe He is. Do you? I don't think He is. I don't think I've done anything special to deserve what God's shown me. I just sit down and spend time with Him. You know what? He shows me. And I think He'll show it to you. But you got to want to. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. And I'm not even going to deal with these 12 apostles, because I don't think that's got anything to do with the thought process we're teaching on, which is what? The mind of Christ. And I'm not going to get into these 12. If anybody wants to, I can read through them real quick and just give you something on what their names mean or something, but I don't even think it's really necessary. It's just telling who they are, and there is something in it, but that's not where I'm teaching, so I'm not going to touch those next few verses. And I'm going to jump to the fifth verse. I'll skip 2 through 4. And the fifth verse says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not." Who's he talking about? There's three classes right there. There's three groups of people. He's talking to disciples, right? And he said, don't go to the Gentiles and don't go to the Samaritans. And you got the disciples. How many is that? Who do you think the Gentiles are? The outer court, the heathen nations. Who do you think the Samaritans are? It's the Pentecostal realm. It's the religious realm of people. See, that's a mixture. The Samaritans was a mixture of the Jews and the Greeks. Well, two is what? Mixture. Duality. And that's not good, is it? Double-minded is not good, is it? So he says, don't go to these other two people. I'm only telling you to go to one person. Who's that? Watch this. He says, he commanded the 12, his disciples, and sent them forth, man, saying, go not into the way. And the word way here literally is the lifestyle. Don't go in the way or the lifestyle of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans. That's the mixture. That's the first two realms, Gentiles and Samaritans. He said, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Right? Who's the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Hello? Come on. Who is it? You. It's you. See, he's not talking to everybody. He's not talking, don't go just to, this is the parable, come on.
He's not talking to humanity.
He's not talking to all of humanity. He said, I'm talking to my disciples, and I want you to go get the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's the kingdom of God today. It's a parable. It's first fruit. He said, my disciples, I want you to do just what I'm doing. Jesus came for what reason? Who'd he come to get? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. See? The rest of them don't feel like they're lost, do they? We knew where we're at. We know we've been the lowest form on the earth. We've been rejected. We know that. See? He sent them to those people. Jesus came not to go to the Gentiles, right? Doesn't the book say so? Don't go to Gentiles, don't go to Samaritans, but only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's us. Come on. That's us. It's overcomers, first fruit. Right? Seeing a lot of blank looks in there.
Well, I would see each stage of religion saying, yeah, I'm that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm that lost sheep.
Mm-hmm. It's not true. It's not true. See, he said, I've only been called to the house of Israel. Jesus said that. I've not been called to go out there. I can't give the children's bread to the dogs. See, I've been called for one thing. Jesus was the first of the many brethren. He was the first fruit of the rest of the first fruit. That's us. See, what are we called to? The same as he. We're not called to the nations yet. We're being called to who? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. We're talking about the true sons. We're not talking about everybody yet. They'll come later. He's talking about first fruit right now. And that's all he was sent for. It's a parable. We've got to get out of this thinking that we're talking about different classes of people. He's talking about first fruit. Okay? He said, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Literally the word says it's approaching. Well, you know why the kingdom's approaching? Because it's within you. It's within you. And as they go preaching the kingdom, guess what? It's being revealed to you. It's approaching. Didn't Jesus say in Luke 17:20, lo, the kingdom of God is within you. See? It's within you. He was talking to the Pharisees. They didn't believe it either. He said, but go preaching, that the preaching saying, the kingdom of heaven approaches. And he said, heal the sick. We're talking about their minds. How are you going to heal their minds? Teach them the Word of God. Only way your mind is going to be healed is come out of the carnality of your natural thinking by the Spirit of God and hearing the truth of God. The church has preached this external gospel for 2,000 years. Has anyone been changed? I dare say there's been a handful been changed. But you know why they've been changed? Because they didn't hear what they said. You know why? Because John 10 says, my sheep will do what? Hear my voice, and the voice of another, they will not follow. They didn't hear that religion. I don't hear it. I don't hear it. I hear God speaking a truth in my heart. And it resonates through all the Word. Everywhere you go, you can find that same theme. Same theme. I don't have to worry about it because I don't have to hear it. It's just like babbling in my ears when I hear some of these preachers preach. Because it's not really life. It's just religion. My sheep don't hear that, do they? It's like you hear a noise, but it's not interesting. But when you hear the truth, it's like, oh, I hear him. Yeah, I hear him. See, I hear him. Come on. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, right? Now, you're going to teach them, first of all, by healing them. Healing their minds and teaching them. Cleanse the lepers, that's remove their sin. See, if you realize once you have heard the truth, you'll be what? Free, right? And when you teach somebody and heal their mind, guess what they don't think about no more? The past sins of their life. See, you remove the leprosy speaks of sin. And when you teach somebody the truth that God loves you, he's not mad at me. Whoo! Did I get free. I don't worry about sin. You just took care of my leprosy. You think I ain't happy? Would you be happy if you had leprosy and somebody took it away from you? Well, he did. No. You're being made whole again. Come on. This isn't just some casual thing we're talking about. This is life. See, here's how we get healed. We get that mind healed and hear the truth, and that removes the leprosy. But see, all this leprosy and sin is only in our head. God's never been mad at us. Never. And then he said, raise the dead. Resurrection. Come on, when you realize my mind's been cleansed by the Word of God, didn't Jesus say, you're clean to Peter through the words I have spoken unto you? There's the cleansing. I've been taken care of. The mind's been healed. Then the sin's removed. The only one thing left to do is resurrect. Come on. Isn't that the next move? It's resurrection. Whew. I don't think anybody's getting excited as I am about this. He said, cast out devils. You know what? As soon as you realize your mind has been set free, you've been healed, the sin's been removed because of the teaching, knowing that you're free and God's not holding you accountable any longer. Right? What's the next one? Resurrection. Well, you know what resurrection will do? It'll take every demon and devil out of your mind. They can't get where you're going. Isaiah said there's a what? There's a highway or a higher way where the devil, where the lion can't walk and the vulture can't even fly there. Come on. This is what it's about. We're going to step above this stuff. And it's not something we're going to do someday. It's something we're going to do right now. It's available to us right now. It's not going to be as sweet by and by. It's right now. And I love this next piece. Freely you have received, freely give. Boys, I mean, I hear people preach this all the time. Freely you receive, freely give. And that's the preachers talking to the people. Freely you have received of me, freely give. Back to me. Well, we turned this around. He said, Jesus is saying this to his disciples, to his leadership. Freely I have given it to you, now you freely give it to them. See? They've turned it around saying, hey, freely you've received, now freely give it to me. That's what the preachers tell you. Give it to me. Come on. You've got to support me and make me live in the biggest house and drive the fanciest cars and wear $1,000 suits and do all this stuff. Is that what it's about? See, freely I have received, so what must I do? I got to freely give it away. See? Not 1995 for the latest revelation. Oh, yeah. That's a different thing. We're going to get there.
Okay,
it's okay. We're going to get there. No problem. I wrote in big letters at the bottom of my page, no charge. No charge. And he says, now this, he's telling this to his disciples, okay? Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. What's he trying to say? Don't provide your own strength. Don't trust in financial situations of gold and silver and brass, that's copper, pennies. Pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, silver dollar, gold dollars, whatever. Don't trust in what you can gather in yourself. That's man's strength. Don't trust in the strength of humanity, okay? That's self. Humanity is yourself. Nor script, okay? And what is script? Well, the word script here you would think would be money, but literally it's a leather pouch for food. That word script totally missed the market. Sure, they carried food in a little leather pouch when they traveled to keep it kind of fresh and keep it. If they just wrapped it up in their under their arm, it'd be kind of wet when they got there. You know, a little. Well, it had plenty of sodium in it. I might not get it back. But anyway, he says, don't provide your own means for food. There was a scripture in Isaiah that says this, in that day, seven women will take hold of one man. Don't get excited, guys. You don't. That's not a blessing. That's a cursing. One's enough. Okay? What he was saying there, he's talking about seven women. He's talking about seven churches. See, in all the churches, says this. I can't quote it. I missed a verse, a piece of the verse. It's in Isaiah 4, verse 1, 2. I'm going to go back here and look at it so we know we got it.
Right. Okay. Whoops, went too far. Here we go. In that day, seven women will take hold of one man, saying, "We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach." Isaiah 4, 1. Seven women, seven churches. They'll take hold of one man. Who's the one man?
Christ.
It's the Christ. They say, only let us eat our own bread, wear our own apparel. Mm-hmm. Whose bread are we supposed to be eating? Mm-hmm. His bread, the heavenly bread, right? Whose apparel should we have on? Our righteousness or His righteousness?
Yes.
His righteousness. Only let us be called by your name or your nature or character. Let me be called a Christian. Just take away my reproach. That's it. That's it. See? And he said, so don't provide your own means of food and substance. Let me provide it for you. What would that be called in essence? Faith. Absolutely. That's faith. See? He said, for your journey or your life, neither two coats, neither shoes nor staves. See? The coats for your outer protection, your shoes to protect your feet and your lifestyle. Don't justify anything in your lifestyle. Or staves to fight off everything. Because what? What's it say? Because the workman, right? Is, you know what that word workman really is? If you look in the language, what do you think that word workman really means? Nope. Nope.
Teacher.
Absolutely. It's teacher. The teacher is worthy of his hire. Right? It's not workman, it's teacher. So he says the teacher is worthy of his hire. Right? And the word worthy is literally the teacher is deserving of his what? Meat, is what the King James says. Should be his food and his wages. If you look at the language, it says his food and his wages. He's worthy of it. And whatsoever city or town you shall enter in, inquire who it is that is worthy, who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go. What's he trying to tell you? If you listen to what's in your heart, if you truly begin to put on the mind of Christ, you're going to hear your Father's voice, right? And you're going to hear your Father tell you to do things that are not normal. It's not natural. It's not natural to go into a city that you know no one and walk in and say, "Hey, who's a good brother in this city?" Well, Larry Cup, he's a good brother, good house. Walk over, knock on the door and say, "God sent me, I need to stick around a few days for rest. Some food, you got some food for me?" Would anybody today do that? Huh? That's what he told him to do. "I'm going to be here as long as the Lord's got me in the city, I'm going to stay at your house." You know what most people do? Slam a door in their face and say, "You're a lunatic." That's what God said. And you know what? But I believe if people would do exactly what He's telling you to do, I believe He'd open the door. And they'd say, "Enter in. Come on in." Because I don't believe God's going to send you someplace and not provide your way. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. See, because I'm hearing that too. Sure. And if it's God sending you there, guess what? You don't have to beg for anything. It'll be provided for you. Okay. Today, there's too many people like... I got a newsletter a while back from a man in this state who... I don't even know how I got on his mailing list. I mean, he just started sending me things. I've heard ideas, but I'm not sure how it ever got about. Somehow he got my name, he started sending me... He's a ministry in this state and thinks he's pretty big about it, you know, but that's his idea. And he sent me this letter, and he's been sending newsletters for 2 years or 2.5 years. And all of a sudden, I get this letter in the mail that says, "I'm going to Africa, and I've been sending you this newsletter for 2.5 years, and I've never asked for any money, but I need it now." Well, big whoop. You just lost your reward, didn't you? Because now I'm going to ask for it. See, if God wanted that man to go, would God provide it?
Yes,
he wouldn't have to go ask nobody for it. He even sent me a big glossy picture of him and his wife so we could pray about it. You know, huh? That's perfect example of doubt and unbelief. People do that all the time. If God wants me to go someplace, you know what? It's going to be provided before I go. I'm not one of those that those poker players that what they call betting on the come. I got a pair in my hand betting on three, or one ace in my hand betting on four more good cards so I can win this hand. And that's the way most people live their lives today. No, when God wants me to go, He's going to give me what He wants me to have. He'll provide it. Like someone came to you and said, God told you to give me money to buy me this or buy me that, and I got to go sing a song somewhere. What'd He tell them? I knew. That's right. And that's exactly right. But there's people running around scamming people like that for money all over the country. They're scamming people. And it's common sense to say, God should have told me. See?
Yeah, because if God told you, if God told that man that, I would have felt it on the inside. He would have said that to
you. Do you remember when Jesus sent the apostles in to prepare for the Last Supper? Go into this house, and a man's got such and such a house in such an area. When you get there, tell him the master desires to use his house. What happened? When he got there, they said, hey, you'll see a man, he's got this foal he's walking with, or a colt, or a donkey, whatever it is, he's walking with it, and tell him the master desires to use your house. And what did the guy say? Oh, come on. Thank God I've got it there ahead of him.
They already know.
See? God already put it in their heart. But whenever you don't know about it, I wouldn't give in to anything like that. That's manipulation, scams. I just don't believe in it. And if we'll pay attention, with this mind of Christ, see, we should be able to discern the truth from a scam, shouldn't we? When people try to take your money, it's a scam.
See? You look at that, where it says the hat worthy of the house or whatever. If you would go into the city, you'll know.
Right, that's discernment.
I mean, that house will be a person of authority. He's going to open the door for it.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, we ain't got there yet. That's coming.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm ready to go.
It's the same thing with our finances in everything. Okay? People so misunderstand, and people have so taken advantage of people in this world, in the Christian realm. They have bled them for billions upon billions of dollars every year, right or wrong. How many people's read the book about their finances? Huh? Do you know about the finances? Does anybody know about them? What God says? You ought to go back and read Genesis chapter 14. About Melchizedek, okay? And then you go to Hebrews chapter 7 and you read about the Melchizedek priesthood. Who is Melchizedek? Somebody tell me. Who is he? It's Christ. It's Jesus. King of Salem, King of Peace. Who would that be, Mike? Who would Melchizedek be? The King of Salem, huh? It's Christ. Now, does the book say Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever? What did Melchizedek do in Genesis 14? No.
I'll
get it in a minute. He didn't take anything. None of the above. No. Melchizedek did something. What did he do? He didn't tell Abraham to do anything, did he? What did Abraham do? What did he do? He said he gave what? Tithes of all that he had. Who told him to do it? Huh? God did. See, in his heart. Now, if you go back to Hebrews chapter 7 and read Hebrews chapter 7, you'll find out that there was a Levitical priesthood or Aaronic priesthood. And what did they do with the money? What does it say? They took it. They took it. And see, that's the church today. They're living under the law of taking. But now it says, but the Levitical priesthood receives. What's the difference? One's under the law and takes. The other receives. Is Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever? Then what's the Melchizedek, the Christ, doing today? Is he taking or is he receiving? See? And there's people in church today teach all across this country. It's on the internet, it's anywhere you want to go. There is no tithing. Well, if Melchizedek is Christ and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he received it, then what's he doing today? Same thing. You see what I mean? Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. See, but we have to realize that God has not changed. It's the way we think. Humanity is the one that thinks wrong.
First thing they start off,
it's under the law. And you see, the tithing was before the law, during the law, and after the law. And the true sons of God never take. I had a man one time jump on me because I said, we're going to take up our tithes and offerings. Ah, you're under the law. Good God, it's just splitting hairs there. Come on, we're just going to receive it. I got to watch every word that pops out. Someone don't want to condemn me. You see what I mean? That's legalism. See, that's legalism in someone's mind to condemn you because the way you said a word, it didn't mean I'm not taking anything. Do I make anybody do anything around here? See, I'm not taking anything. It's what I'm receiving. But people teach all kinds of funny things. But if you'll go back to this book and listen, by the Spirit of God, put on the mind of Christ, you can't miss it. You'd have to hire somebody to help you miss it. You understand? And that one's already resident there trying to help you misunderstand it. Okay? Where am I at? How'd I get there? I don't know. And when you enter into a house, salute it. I don't know how I got where I went. I just went, and that's where I ended up. Okay. I now know how I got there. Okay. I think, how did I get there? Okay. When you enter a house, do what to it? What does the word salute mean? It's more than just a greeting. It's giving an honor. Okay. When you enter a house, it's like Paul said when he came into Jerusalem, he said under the authority of Peter. Peter was the apostle of that area. Okay. And this is where people get this false teaching that you got to have a covering, and when you come in, you have to submit to this person or submit to that person. It's all this religious stuff that they teach. It's a bunch of hooey, but that's what they come up with it. All he's saying here is when you come into a house, if I come into your house, and if I didn't give you honor, what would I be? Very disrespectful. See? It's not talking about coming in there and taking over somebody's house. I mean, I've had people that think they can run in just because they preach, they can run anybody's house and take it over. If I come into your house, I have no authority there until you give me authority. And I've been in most of y'all's houses to teach. I don't come in there and just take over. That's not my place. Until I have been given authority by you, I don't have any authority in your home. The only place I have authority is where God gives it to me or where someone else gives me the authority to come and teach in your home. Right? So we have to watch this thing. We got to give honor, and Jesus said it real well. Give honor to whom honor is due, and respect to whom respect is due, right? Whom should we respect? Everybody. Whom should we honor? Everyone. See, if we think that way, guess what we'll do? We'll do it. We won't be playing the game, well, I'm going to honor this one and disrespect that one, you know. Or respect this one, disrespect that one. No, it don't work that way. That's a double-minded man. Huh? That's the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He said, if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to it. Do you think he's really talking about the building they're living in? What's the house? It's us. See? So when you come to somebody, you give them honor. And if your peace settles with them, let it stay there, right? He said, but if they're not worthy of it, let your peace return to you, right? And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of the house or city, what should you do? Shake the dust off your feet. I'm going to give you a few verses. I'm not going to get into it, but Mark 6, verse 11, Luke 9, verse 5, and Luke 10, verse 11, and they are parallels to this verse 14 here. So I'm just going to give you references there, and you can go back and dig this out. Okay? But he says, when you depart from these places, shake the dust off your feet. Well, you know, your dust is on your lifestyle, and when you get into the dust realms, and the book says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, right? That dust is going to stick to your feet. It's your lifestyle. And when he said your feet need washed, that's because your feet comes in contact with the earth, the earthly realms, and that dust is the bad stuff. Okay? Dust is serpent food, the way I read it in my Bible from Genesis. So I don't need no serpent food on me to entice them. You know how they'll take and put honey on something to draw flies to it or something sweet? I don't need no dust on me to entice the serpent, do I? I need to get all that off of me. He said, shake it off your feet. Verily I say unto you, verse 15, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city or that house. Now, if they don't receive your words, shake the dust off your feet. Did he say go burn the house down? Did he say go blow the city up? If they can't hear you, like the lady was talking today, she couldn't hear us, could she? What am I supposed to do? Shake the dust off my feet and go on. Don't be concerned with it. It's not our choice, is it? The choice belongs to the Father. It's a sovereign choice. We have no choice in this thing. He chooses who He wants. He said it'll be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? They were destroyed. They were burnt up, weren't they? Sodom means burnt, and Gomorrah means submerged. And I think both the cities now are under the sea. Okay? Lowest form of humanity. They're the lower realms. I think I know I did, earlier, where it says that he that teaches one of these commandments, breaks one of these commandments, and teaches people to do so, what shall he be? You remember? He'll be least in the kingdom. Didn't say he wasn't going to be in the kingdom. He said he'd be least in the kingdom. And I think that's what he's saying right here. They'll be in the lower realms, like Sodom and Gomorrah. They'll be in the lower realms. But they'll be least in him. But the one who teaches and does these commandments, he shall be called great in the kingdom, right? Behold, now who's he talking to? Verse 16, talking to his disciples. Behold, I send you forth as sheep. Right? Sheep is a very defenseless animal. Very defenseless. They ain't got enough sense. In fact, they take them and walk up and cut their throat, and they'll just stand there and bleed to death. That's how they butcher them. They just stand there and bleed. They don't even try to get away from you. They just stand there. Not very defensive, you know. He said, I send you forth as a sheep in the midst of the what? The word wolf here means greedy, cruel, and destructive men. He sent us out there like a little lamb in the midst of a bunch of greedy, cruel, and destructive humanity. And he said, therefore, be ye wise as a what? Literally, it says, a serpent is artfully malicious. A serpent is very cunning, isn't it? It knows how to stalk and do what it's doing. He said it's artfully malicious. And harmless, and that is, this word harmless means unmixed, pure, innocent, without a mixture of evil. All those words are in the language. And be harmless. He's saying be unmixed, be pure, be innocent, be without a mixture of evil. The same as what? A dove or a pigeon. Mm-hmm. No malice in those birds, right? And that's the way we're supposed to be. But then he comes back in verse 17 and says, but what? Beware of who? The word's anthropos, it's humanity. Beware of... Now hang on here, guess what? He ain't telling you to watch out for them people out there. Hey, right here. This is humanity. Beware of humanity. Watch what happens here. Beware of humanity, because they shall deliver you up to the councils. See, my mind will accuse me every time I get started. Don't yours? They'll deliver you up every time you get started. And they'll scourge you. How many of you late at night and get beat up in bed? Come on, your own mind's doing it to you. Thank you for that revealing message. Verse 18, and you shall be brought before governors. Didn't say you might be. You're going to be accused in front of influential people. Now, why is he saying this? He knew what's going to happen is his life. He knew his destiny. He knew his purpose, right? He knew who he was. He knew his relationship with his father. He knew his purpose. He knew what was going to happen. And he's saying, I'm just like you. I'm your what? Older brother. Now, if I walk through it, what's going to happen to you? He said, I'm doing this so you can see what's going to happen to your life. They're going to do all these things to you. Now, see what goes on. He said, you'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake or for my account. For a testimony, or literally for evidence given, what? Against them. Them who? The rulers, the accusers. See? The Gentiles. Against them and the Gentiles. See? Because there's a lot of people out here that want to do you in. All you got to do is speak truth, and you'll be done in. But you know what's the great thing about it? What's that song? Can't touch this. See? Can't touch this. You can't touch us. And you got to know it in your heart. They can't touch you until God says it's okay. What did he say about Job? He said this one day that the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came what? Among them? He came in them. And guess what? He said, hey, Satan, have you considered my servant Bill? Upright, loves God, hates evil. And what's he say? Well, does he fear you? Does Bill fear you for not? Said, good God, you put a hedge around him. Everything you do, he bless it. Why wouldn't he? He said, well, all right, tell you what. Go ahead and do what you want to, but don't touch his life. Can't touch you. Can't touch you. A little later on in the verse, he says, hey, God, won't you put forth your hand and touch him? Since you won't let me, you touch him. He'll curse you and die. But you know, there's a beautiful passage in Job. I can't recall it right now, the chapter and verse. But he said, in all the things that Job did, he never sinned with his mouth. Sounds to me like he wasn't a complainer. Huh. See, and everybody says, well, his wife, he should have been a complainer because she was a nagger. See? Okay? But you know what? That wasn't his wife. That was his soul. His soul was the complainer, just like everybody else's. Who's the complainer in me? My woman, my soul. That's where the complaint comes from, not from the Christ. Because my book says the Christ went to sacrifice as a mute lamb. He never opened his mouth, right? Come on. We've got to get above this letter of the law and the Word and see the truth that God's trying to tell us. Verse 19. But when they deliver you up, do what? Take no thought of how or what you shall speak. You know what that means to me? That just kicks it out in me. Philippians 4:6. What? Be anxious for nothing. Didn't he say, take no thought, don't worry about it? Huh? Don't be anxious? Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. He'll take care of it. Because it shall be given unto you in that same hour what you shall speak. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 50, verse 4. Where am I at? It's 19. Because it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. Well, you know how many people don't believe that? Do you know how many people don't believe it's the Spirit of God speaking out of us? Majority. They don't believe that.
I believe it because I've been in situations where I didn't know what to say.
But it comes out. See? But people that don't have the ears to hear and the eyes to see, they don't believe it's God speaking through you. Do they? If they did, would they treat you the way they treat you? Come on! If I thought God was speaking through someone, could I be disrespectful to them? Huh? Come on. Could you? There's no way. If I thought it was my Father, my Creator, speaking to me, how can I disrespect anybody? See? So when people disrespect you, guess what they're telling you? They don't see the God in you. Does that mean He's not there? No. It means He probably is there. That's why they're disrespecting you. Doesn't Revelation say this? The book of Revelation says that they will be tormented in the presence of the Lamb and His holy messengers. Hello. If the Lamb's in you, it should be tormenting somebody. I got a gift. Oh my. Okay. Verse 21. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise against their parents and cause them to be put to death. You know what that is? What would cause a son to raise up against his father, a father to raise up against his son, mothers against their daughters, daughters against their children, their daughters? What would cause somebody to do that? Let me write a word up here on the board, on the dry erase board or something like that. Joke, personal joke. This is the word right here. Ego. What is ego? Self. The only thing that would make me stand up against my own flesh and blood, my own father, or my brothers or my sisters, is that right there. And when you're in ego and self, there's one more big P word that goes with it. Pride. It's the only thing it can be. See, it makes you feel like you are superior to anyone else. That's all it is. How can God be no respecter of persons and give someone else something and make them better than someone else? It can't be, can it? It's impossible. But that's what they see in their minds. And you shall be loved of all men for my sake. Huh? That ain't what it says? Oh, okay, I see what I did wrong. And you shall be hated of all men. The word men isn't even there. You shall be hated of all. Not for, but through. Through my nature, if the word's onoma for name, nature, okay, for my name's sake. It's unknown, it's my nature and character. Because of my name, my nature, my character that's in you, you're going to be hated of all. Didn't it say he was rejected, despised, and hated? See, if you think being a Christian is going to get you liked, you'd be kidding yourself. He was rejected, despised, and hated. He was detested. So what are we going to be? Same thing. If you're loved of the world, the love of God's not in you. I tell you that right now. And see, when people accuse me, do you know what they do to me, Jay? They strengthen me. I feed upon the accusations that are absolute falsehoods. I know I'm doing what's right. When I've done nothing wrong and I know in my heart I'm right, and they accuse me, it feeds me. Because it's just like this. When I was younger in the Lord, this voice come to me one day. I was coming right up Offner Street by the cemetery there. And this thing come to me and said, "Won't you just go be a good old Baptist boy?" Also, help me God. That voice spoke in my head. It's clear to me. "Won't you just go back and be a good old Baptist boy? Everybody like you." No, I wouldn't have. No, I wouldn't. I'd have made a good John the Baptist. They'd have cut my head off. If I told him Baptist, I'd have made. Huh? That's what I said. I made a good John the Baptist. They'd have beheaded me. I mean, yeah, it's a joke. And I feed upon it. I realize, if this voice in me, the accuser, is talking to me and trying to take me another way, I must be going the right way. I must be. Just got to understand the patterns. But it feeds me when these people do these things. It just ensures me that I know I'm in the right track. So the last part of verse 22 says, "But he that endures unto the end..." Now that word "endure" is a military terminology. It's like going to be a fight. Okay? Going to be some suffering involved. Any of us think we're going to walk through a tulip garden? I don't think so. Okay. "But he that endures until the when." So when's this thing going to end? At the end. That makes sense? The end's going to be in the end. Right? Huh? And you ain't smelling no tulips. So we have to realize this is something that's going to be with you for your entire walk on the face of this earth. Ain't no getting out of it. But again, he says this, "I'll never put anything on you except I give you a way to what? Escape." See? He'll never put anything on you that you can't bear. Everything that God puts on you, every time God puts a test on you, what happens? It's another test to make you stronger. So the next test that come up has to be a little what? A little harder, so you'll be a little stronger for the next test, so you can withstand that. See? That's exactly... That's it. Hey, but listen to this. If you'll realize, and that's exactly what you have to do, like Cindy did today, you've got to realize, I have the power of God in me to overcome these things. I can say, "Be gone." I don't have to put up with this stuff no more. And when you do realize that, guess what? You will be stronger. And see, it's not in natural strength, but it's in knowing that God gave you the authority to take power over all the power of the enemy.
Okay?
But she's found out now you're not the problem. Okay. But when you when they persecute you in this city, flee to another, because verily I say to you, you shall not have finished, which has gone over, finished the cities of Israel, till the Son of Man, what? Not become, but literally, Erchemai, appear. See? Whenever you have gone through these things and done what you've done and been persecuted through all the persecutions, what's going to happen? When you are weak, He is strong. See? So when you went through all these persecutions and you learned not to fight, you learned to be just like a lamb. Guess what? When you get through these cities and you're going through all these persecutions and all these rejections and all this pain and hurt and suffering, by the time you get through with it, what's going to appear? Christ in you, your hope of glory. It's your hope that when all this goes down, all they're doing is preparing you to take the kingdom. So He can say to you, enter in, my son. Enter into my rest. That's beautiful. To know that He's laid all this out, went to all this detail to set it up and prepare us just gently. Not forcing us, just gently. I know sometimes it don't feel like it's gentle.
But He did. He set us up.
He set us up. But I'm glad He did. Because see, we're hard-headed enough, we'll fight Him. And we would just ease up and let God take control. He set this whole thing up. We can't go wrong. We're not driving. I'm in the back seat. Sometimes I feel like I'm in the back seat running 100 mile an hour down a freeway. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm in the car and Bill's driving. See? But I don't have to worry about it, see? He didn't even hear that. You don't even have to worry about it because it doesn't make any difference who's driving as long as it ain't me. See? No, I didn't say a word speeding a bit. No, I didn't say that. I said 100 miles an hour. And I was in the back seat and you was driving. Okay. I'm going to break off right there because it's 9 o'clock. And I mean, I get started and I'm having fun, but it'd take me another hour to get through this at least. Maybe not, but who cares? I'm not going to keep you all night. I mean, you know, I'm going to break off here and we'll start up next Thursday night with chapter 10, verse 24. Anybody got any questions before we break it off? I mean, I want to give everybody an opportunity to say something. I know I gave you some things to think about. And...